I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What is up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? Welcome back to a new edition, and the podcast will rock. We are post-Christmas. If you celebrate that holiday, Merry Christmas to all of you, and happy holidays in general. We are approaching the new year. This is the last show of the year, so thank you for joining us. If it's your first time, let me tell you what we do. We are the podcast that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen, and we do it one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, how was your holiday?
You know, it was okay. I didn't have TV or internet for 4 days. It decided to die early on Christmas Eve, and we didn't get it back until yesterday, the 27th, as we record this. So, yeah, it was a rough 4 days, mainly because I have children, and they didn't have internet for 4 days, and they made my life a living hell. But other than that, it was fine. I got some vinyl, got some AC/DC, actually. For Christmas.
Ooh.
I think Kevin Brown's wife wins Christmas. He got the Van Halen 2 collection on vinyl from his dear sweet wife. So he's a lucky son of a bitch. I notice he's not lurking. He's got better things to do where he thinks he does anyway. But
he's probably jamming that new vinyl as we speak. And he said, why bother tuning in to those two schmoes just yakking about Van Halen when I can just jam them on this pretty pristine new vinyl? So in that regard, I can't fault him. And big congratulations to our friend Kevin Brown for his seventh season on the Seaside Pod Review. Seven seasons. That's 60 episodes? Good job.
Literally, it's season 7, 61 episodes, if that makes any fucking sense.
Yeah, I was about to say, try to figure out that math and come back to us when you do. But,
I got new sound drops.
Loud, loud, babe!
A little David Lee Roth for you.
Well, I mean, it nothing says Christmas or a Van like some screaming David Lee Roth. I mean, you know, that's a good one. If you guys have any Van Halen ornaments that you put on your tree, get a picture of that and send it to us, man. Tweet at us at Podcast Will Rock, because I'm just now thinking about it, and I'm surprised I didn't see too many. If you have them, show them, because I'd be very curious to see it. But
well, I did get my apologies to Gary shirt.
I see it. Yeah, finally, I saw you rocking it. I was waiting to bring it up. It's all coming together, man. Yeah, just the army is growing, and I need it to grow even more because I'm just greedy that way. But if you got yourself some merch from our store, thank you so much for doing that. And I hope it made for a very lovely gift, whether it was for yourself or for a loved one or a friend or anybody, really. Thank you so much. So I hope everyone had a tremendous holiday. We're almost to the next holiday. By the time you hear this, we'll almost be there. We're not quite there. So let's make this last show of 2023 is almost over in a couple of days. Where does the time go? Where does the time go indeed? I don't know. I don't have a lot. I've been pondering that a lot lately. It's just, I guess the older we get, the more time just seems to slip away. So with that in mind, I mean, we've only got so many episodes left of this iteration of the show too, but we're not going to get too sad about that. We're just going to keep on trucking. Corey, what is going on in the world of Van Halen news?
Hold on, I got to get ready.
Ready as anybody can be. I'm ready for you. Hope you're ready for me.
All right, now I'm ready. Let's go to the Van Halen news desk.
His Louis Armstrong impression.
I just found that clip online, clipped it out, put it on my new Rodecaster 2 here that is very temperamental here today because
we're
about half hour late getting on the air because we had no audio for a little while. But let's take it back to the Van Halen news desk. A lot of great articles actually that were dropped around the Christmas time. First of all, Wolfgang Van Halen on the making of Mammoth 2. Chris Gill, who has submitted some rankings for us on our live shows. He's the co-author of Eruption. He did an interview with Wolfie, and they talked about all sorts of things. The improvements he made to 5150, new tracks that he has ready for Mammoth 3, whenever he gets going on that, his current headlining tour, all that kind of stuff. So that's a great interview. You're going to want to check that out. The next article, we got a couple of bozos here. That I recognize. Sammy Hagar crashes fan podcast. That's right. Our good buddies, Darren and Bren from the Bogus Oda Show. The nice article here. I believe this from Eric Senich about how Sammy crashed their podcast. I guess they were kind of like what we're doing with Gary. We just tagged him and stuff. They tagged him in Instagram posts and he started replying to him and kind of became aware of their show. And then sure enough, he was on the show. So we keep doing that with Gary. He may show up.
Maybe we'll have a situation where, Corey and I finally get to do a live podcasting, and somewhere in the area, Gary will just show up, kind of like the Bogus Otis Boys shared the video where Sammy was just chilling out, saying hey to people, and just literally crashes their set. It's right in the middle of them talking, like, hey, what are you guys doing? And so if Gary wants to do that with us, I am more than willing to accept that, even if he just wants to sit down and be like, hey, fuck off, you two. All right, cool, we got Gary on the show, apology, sir. That would honestly make my day, just because I don't know, that just seems funny to me. But if you guys have not checked out that episode of the Bogus Oda Show with Sammy Hagar, the man himself, do that. You will have a good time, I promise.
That's right. And, I'm going to be in Toronto with the Bogus Otis Boys for a Sammy Hagar, Michael Anthony, Joe Satriani, Jason Bottom show. You should just make your way up to Toronto. Yeah. Get your passport. You and the missus, maybe a honeymoon.
I mean, I do have a passport. We do have some trips that we are planning aside from the the honeymoon itself, which we're not even ready to think about that yet because there's a wedding to plan. So that's what my 2024 will consist of. But I've never been to Toronto. That might be a fun little trip. But I probably will end up, if I make that trip, it'll be alone because I don't think Christy wants to go to Toronto. But then again, if I tell her why I'm going to Toronto, she might be more inclined to go because she is a self-appointed Sammy Hagar fan. So why wouldn't she want to go check that out? And why wouldn't she want to meet all you nice fellas, especially you, Corey? So who knows? Who knows?
You know, they probably will do Amsterdam. Just throw that out to her, and I bet you she might be in favor.
But she'd be like, okay, that's fine, but are they going to do Seventh Seal? Because that's her jam. That I couldn't answer. So we'll just have, time will tell, and we'll just have to wait, or I'll be like, well, if you want to find out, we should go to the show.
Sammy does dig that too.
Entice her.
Yeah, I would not be shocked.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's head back to the news desk real quick. Faith No More's mid-song Van Halen crisis. And
Oh, boy.
I believe it was actually Darren Paltrowitz was interviewing somebody from Faith No More, bassist Bill Gould. And they were talking about different covers. And he said, actually, a cover we used to do all the time was Jump. And so they talked a little bit about Faith No More covering Jump. There's a newer clip of them doing a little bit of Jump, like a little snippet in 2015. But people are on the lookout for Faith No More in like the mid-80s doing a cover of Jump. I think that'd be pretty cool. So
that I would love to hear that.
Yeah, it'd be really, really something. We also have the first video from Modern Drummers, kind of a tribute to this year's Hall of Fame inductee, Alex Van Halen. So you could catch out that video on the Van Halen news desk. Then we have what Eddie Van Halen said that Steve Hackett is grateful for. Steve Hackett, of course, from Genesis. Eddie Van Halen quite commonly gives him a ton of credit for being one of the first guys to start tapping on the guitar.
Yeah.
Which Steve Hackett has always said that it's always meant the world to me. Whenever somebody as legendary as Eddie Van Halen calls you out and gives you credit, it means a lot. So that little snippet of an interview is on there as well. And of course, we have our favorite Van Halen Christmas clips, including, Ain't Talking About Feliz Navidad, I believe it was, that we played last year around this time. Christmas Eruptions on there, all sorts of cool stuff. So if you're still in the holiday spirit, go check those out. A couple of cool ones here just released not that long ago. New 4K transfers of Van Halen's 1978 Niagara concert. They actually got the whole show whenever they could. Whenever the video conked out, they would just put up a logo. But a new 4K transfer from that iconic 1978 Niagara concert is pretty cool. So you can check that out.
See it all in 4K.
Yeah, it obviously was shot on Super 8 film, so it's not going to look like Avatar, but
No. Yeah. Don't expect like a James Cameron level shot there, but still, that's pretty cool.
And finally, Sammy and Mike, the story behind Van Halen's Cabo Wabo. So they've been getting together and talking about some of their favorite tracks off the collection too. Cabo Wabo being one of them. You can catch that there. Jeff Brewer, I got to say in the comment, never heard Ed give Steve Hackett credit for being influenced. So just real quick, I'll clip on that and we'll maybe read one of the quotes here.
Yeah.
The question was, do you feel like you're finally getting the credit and recognition for being one of the first two hand tappers? And he says, quote, it seems like that's the case. Eddie Van Halen gave me some name checks with this and he says that's where he got it from. I'm very grateful for him saying that. Obviously, Eddie was a great guitarist. I was also mindful of the fact that Jeff Beck had just passed away when I was doing many of these guitar overdubs, particularly with the opening tune from his new album, The Circus and the Night Whale, called People of the Smoke.
That's really cool. Yeah, and especially someone like Eddie Van Halen, who kind of revolutionized the whole technique of tapping on the fretboard, because, I mean, nobody quite does it like Eddie Van Halen, often imitated but never duplicated. And that's really, really cool that he would give credit to Steve there, man. That's I like that. Go check out that article, you guys.
Yeah, that's Hackett saying that. Where's the Eddie quote? I don't have that in front of me, Jeff. You've got homework now. Find it yourself.
Sounds like Jeff doesn't believe you. Jeff is calling BS on this story.
Off what Steve Hackett said. Maybe Steve Hackett got stoned at that. Eddie Van Halen said I was the greatest guitar player of all time. Maybe he didn't. I don't know.
Well, go head over to the Van Halen news desk and check out that article and see for yourself, man. And that'll be. And if there's still an issue, I don't know. We'll get Eric Sinich on the show and you can take it up with him.
Or Steve Hackett on the show. Where did you hear it, Steve?
Or Steve. Ooh.
Inquiring minds want to know.
That would be cool. You think we could make that happen?
I don't know.
Probably not. But
Steve Hackett's got a new record out, apparently. Maybe we can get him on the show.
Ooh, well then. Come on the show. Talk about some Van Halen stuff. You know, just to take a little break about what you're doing. It'll be fine. But yeah, check that out. Always a good time and always insightful with our friends over at the Van Halen news desk. So you want your Van Halen news daily? Go to the Van Halen news desk. All right. So with that in mind, you guys, we did it. Yeah. If you were here for the show last week, you know that we spun an infamous track, a track that we have talked about on the show. Corey famously has not wanted to spin it, but we finally spun it. It was actually kind of a mulligan pull, but we still spun it anyway. And that was the infamous track from For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, Spanked. And it's exactly what you think it is, based on the title. I'll admit, though, it wasn't until going through the lyrics while we were doing the show itself that I realized, like, oh, that it is about that. That is what this song is about. Because when I was a kid listening to the Fuck album, I wasn't thinking about it. It didn't register. I was just thinking about, oh, man, this is a cool sounding Van Halen album. Sweet. Never bothered to check in with the content of some of those songs, Spanked being one of them, so that it was an enlightening experience. A lot of people were very much manifesting Spanked, if nothing else, just to mess with Corey. But you finally got what you wish for. And based on all of those manifestations, I would have expected the voting to go a little bit differently. But nevertheless, it went, honestly, just a little bit better than what I could have imagined. And that is, Spanked was voted 58% What Dreams Are Made Of over a 42% Dream Is Over. This was nearly 50-50. Would not have expected that whatsoever. I was very... very sure this would have ended up being like at minimum a 60-40 split, with the 60 being Dream Is Over and the 40 being What Dreams Are Made Of. But no, we got a 58-42. Corey, are you surprised by these poll results?
I probably would have flipped it. I thought maybe four would have been 42%, against would have been 58, especially when the two Bogus Osas boys voted with me in downvoting, which kind of surprised me. I will say, though, listening to it on the show here, I enjoyed it a little more than I normally do. I think maybe I just dismiss it too quickly. And
maybe
it was when Darren was saying, hey, you know, let's give the live listen, because they changed some stuff up live and they played a little bit quicker. I'm like, okay, now I'm not as off on the riff anymore. And that was really kind of the big thing. The lyrics were kind of fine by me. I get it. You're writing a song about a career years Halen, about a naughty phone line. That's fine. And the lyrics for what that is fine. I just wasn't a big fan of the riff more than anything. And that's why was going to downvote it. But when you speed it up, and I appreciate it, I just wasn't a fan of it, is all. It was just a personal taste on the riff. But I'm not surprised that we had a lot of people liking it, because a lot of people in our Discord love this song, and unapologetically and unironically, they say, this is why I love that song. Like, that's great. I just couldn't get past not liking the riff. The solo is cool. The lyrics work for the meaning of the song. Had I been listening to the live version, hell, I might have even upvoted it, because the live version on Live Right Here Right Now is, in my opinion, better than the recorded version. So
I will agree with you after we listen to a little bit of the live version. Like, yeah, you know what? I do like it better sped up. I didn't have a problem with the riff as much as you did, but I will agree. Absolutely. Sped up. It kind of almost sort of changed the dynamic of the song in a way, but in a good way. So I'm right there with you. I was part of the 58% that upvoted it, because, you know, as I mentioned on the show, man, I had a lot of things that I really enjoyed about it. So if you want to hear that, go back to the show from last week and check out our analysis on Spanked. But I want to hear from our listeners what they had to say about it. So I'm going to read from some of our tweets or our X's, whatever you want to call it. From our patrons. If you want your tweet guaranteed read on the show, then join our Patreon. And, you know, that means you'll get Discord access, and you'll get to write as much as you want. And I'll read it to you, because that's the reward. That is one perk to joining our Patreon. You get to have your voice heard loud and proud, like this person right here from the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast, our friend Sean McGinnity. He says, while the lyrics are among Sammy's most douchey, the lyrics are always the last thing I need to work in a song. I love the bass. I love Alex and Eddie sizzles. I even like the melody Sammy came up with in it. In fact, if he mumbled or scatted his way across we lost. Oh, no. Where's his response? Where is it? Oh, it's gone. That's a shame. Maybe it's in the Discord. Like, yeah, I think you forgot to tweet your response there, Sean.
Oops.
But nevertheless, he said that it worked for him. He loves the groove. He loves the bass. He loves Alex and Eddie Sizzle. So I'm assuming he voted upwards. I can't find his response to his first tweet, but there you go. So we'll just say that was an upvote. But if I'm wrong about that, Sean, come back and tell us what it was, or finish the response, because for whatever reason I can't see it.
Are you saying he should finish what he started?
Yes,
I will see myself.
He's incomplete. I'm incomplete over here. let's see. Rava Flave, our friend Rava Flave, says, for a little over a year now, Corey has groomed me to downvote this song.
Oops.
Those lyrics are terrible in 2023, but probably right on track for whatever stupid shit was topical in 1991. I can't listen to the bass line and help but hear the Tubes, Keyboard Kids, and Mr. Hate. #976 Tina. I'm assuming he downvoted. I'm not sure what to make of that response, because he doesn't really give us a yay or nay. So Rava Flave, give us some clarity on that. What is happening right now? Brad Gould says, stupid lyrics, great baseline, # what dreams are made of. So for some people, the lyrics didn't matter. It's the jump effect. I know our friend Tom Armbruster really hates it when I mention the dumb lyrics of Jump, but there we are, mentioning it again.
He put a manifesto, I believe, on Jump in the Discord.
We'll get to it.
Okay.
Jeff Brewer says, yes, this song is one of the three stooges of Sam's lyrical catalog, but the song is not as bad as the lyrics suggest, and the lyrics are still better than the lyrics of the other two stooges from OU812. Up instead of he specifically said 12, but OU812. And then he says upvote. So there you go. He even though the lyrics were stupid, as he points out, it was still an upvote. I'm assuming it's because that solo was just fire. No mention of the main riff that you alluded to though, Corey. So maybe I guess nobody else had an issue with it. So moving on to the Discord, where the manifestos lie. Here we go. Our good friend Ryan Powell returns with his ever so eloquent manifestos. This one's almost a straight up manifesto, so I'll read it. Spanked. The song begins with a solitary guitar intro punctuated by a powerful howl from Sammy. This is swiftly followed by a potent bass that packs an impactful punch. As the song progresses, the rhythm builds methodically, culminating in a steady four-on-the-floor beat. The rhythm is driven by the combined efforts of Mike and Ed, their rich bass sounds uniquely meshing and leading the charge. Ed's strumming riffs, while less prominent, are instrumental in providing texture and depth to the song's overall feel. Sammy's melody in the pre-chorus is nicely complemented by choral backing vocals, while the funk-tinged bass line in the chorus is amplified by background vocals that exude a requisite amount of stank. The song's climax, speaking purely in the musical sense, not touching the double entendre implied by the lyrical theme of the song, comes in the form of a fittingly placed solo that aligns seamlessly with the rhythm section's impetus. Following this, there is an almost ghostly breakdown that beautifully contrasts the previous sections and sets the stage for the final chorus. These elements all come together to create a song that is a joy to listen to without even addressing or defending its lyrical quality or questionably puerile theme. Although it may not outshine the other incredible songs on this spectacular album, it still holds its own with its unique and heavy style. # what dreams are made of. Beautifully said, Ryan. And I gotta say, I agree with you. It's certainly not my favorite from the album whatsoever, as I think I pointed that out, but all of the elements just sort of came together in the right way for me. But you know, as some of you will know, I was kind of alone in that feeling on the panel of the show, but it's okay. I think Corey might come around on it in maybe in another year. We'll see.
I'm
we'll revisit.
There.
Yeah, we'll revisit. Chazmataz, old Chaz Charles says, hooray, I'm with Mark. You can call 1-900-SUCK-IT. This is one of Sammy's greatest songs. The inside vibe, 100%. Love every fucking thing about this song. And yes, 1-900-SPANKED was a real line in New York City in the 90s. Loved the Stan Lee stank. Fucking love Spank.
Are you
really
Tony
glad I wasn't there?
Stank.
You Tony Stank.
Just for chance.
Tony Spank. Love it. That's awesome. Corey's honest listen is the stuff dreams are made of. Merry Christmas, you fuckers. Pre-Christmas. But there you go. Oh, and Chaz, before I even ask, answered my questions because there are the Van Halen ornaments on his tree.
Absolutely.
Little Franken guitars there. From that's awesome. He's got a white, a red, and a black and yellow one. It's awesome.
Fantastic. I'm working hard for the folks in the chat. I know Jeff and Chaz and Josh, who I hope is feeling better. I guess he had some blood pressure issues. Hopefully your blood pressure's calmed down. We rolled Spank. You can calm down. You can get that blood pressure down. We're going to get a good one tonight. make sure you get to Scott's Manifesto as well, Ryan points out. But I'm trying to find...
Yeah, I'm working there.
Okay, I'm trying to find any sort of other corroborating evidence that Eddie Van Halen credited. He obviously credited Jimmy Page. A lot of people are saying that, yeah, we know that. He said that, I think, Guitar World, that he credited the Heartbreaker solo from Jimmy Page. But Steve Hackett is mainly the one saying, oh yeah, Eddie credits me all the time. The only other quote I can find is from John Frusciante from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, or Frusciante, excuse me, sorry. John Frusciante from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, where he said that Eddie claimed he came up with this on his toilet while he was taking a shit. But he went backstage at a Steve Hackett show and told Steve Hackett that he got the idea from being at a Genesis show and saw him doing it. Because Steve Hackett says he had been two-finger tapping since 71.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's the only other piece of evidence I can find so far. If Eddie said it, he said it privately, not publicly, apparently, because I haven't been able to find it yet.
He said it to himself in the bathroom after he got done taking a dump.
Apparently, he confides all of his secrets to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, apparently.
let's see. And I love that old Tom says, I don't hate that you think the lyrics to Jump are stupid. You're just wrong. He's talking to me.
He's got a point.
I know that. And speaking of Tom, you know, his little manifesto, I won't read the first part of it because it's irrelevant, but I'll say about Spanked, I'll say this. It's one of those listen to the music, lyrics, not so much songs for me. Still, what dreams are made of. So he's not about the lyrics. He's all about the music. It all worked for him. And I am in agreement with Tom in that regard, because I admitted that the lyrics were really dumb, but also to Corey's point, they fit the song of what they were trying to do, and for me the music really really worked, so that's why I had to upvote it. And moving on to Scott Monroe's manifesto, he says, dial me in for Spanked, it's what dreams are made of. I'm with Mark, as I've so often been lately with the recent run of Sammy songs, hell yeah, on the overall analysis, and like many of you, I also prefer the live right here, right now version with the cooler Eddie Van Halen intro and the cleaner sound / faster tempo. Yeah. But the studio track still does it for me. Sure. I also might have skipped this one quite a bit over the years to get to the album's more standout tracks, but this is solid. It's a solid, fun filler. Lyrically, it's a delightful time capsule, and hear me out, it's pretty wholesome as far as Sammy's dirty yarns go. It's playful and smirk-worthy. David Lee Roth, I'm sure, could have come up with something more interesting, a way of presenting the content, a la Dirty Movies, anyone? But I think Sammy was spot on to write about this on an album called For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, a.k.a. Fuck. And he sings the hell out of it. Yes, he does. Musically, yeah, it's a different animal than most of the other tracks. It's more about the down and dirty groove than the riff. Eddie Van Halen's sonic flourishes cry out with more impact than the solo, and the chorus calls to you like you'd imagine the speaker on the other line would. It's a classic high-minded Sammy concept song, concepts in quotations, that's very much of its era, and it works for me. I won't downvote anything on this album, guys. Not even that other track we haven't covered yet. If Spanked comes on, I will listen and I'll like it. Kissy face. So there you go. Scott Monroe, he's digging in his heels and like, you don't say a damn bad word about this because it's great. And you know what? I applaud you for it.
I appreciate
it. And I wouldn't say anything bad. Oh, and then just as an aside, Jeff Brewer kind of jumping on kind of with what Ryan said in his manifesto, the lyrics aren't Sam's worst. It's a good point on Ed's slightly buried background guitar on the verses. I kind of miss it a little on the live version, but I would prefer not to hear it rather than the part being pre-recorded and piped in. I prefer live actually be live. I 100% agree with you on that one, because especially these days with live shows, there's the use of the track has become a sort of a source of contention. There's one band out there right now that literally could not play their show because their laptop would not play certain tracks. And so therefore they couldn't play their song. Now, bear in mind, this band was not this wasn't a DJ band. This wasn't even an electronica band where the use of a computer for electronic bullshit was necessary. No, this was a full-fledged band with guitars, with bass, with drums, singer, and like maybe a keyboardist, not on a laptop, just, you know, your black and white standard keys. And they could not play the show because the tracks weren't working. And that just to me says, you don't know how to play your instruments. Yeah, you're not a real band. This is fake. And sadly, there are a lot of bands in modern music these days that are too reliant on that. And it's kind of a shame. It's a real shame. I'll just say it. I'm not trying to downplay anyone who their bread and butter and their music is reliant on, you know, computer software and stuff like that. Like, you know, make your music how you want to make it, but also have a backup plan. Have a backup plan, because things will inevitably happen in a live show. Like, those are the most unpredictable things. You might have a great show one night, and the very next night something will go awry. Something will happen. You know, it happens in podcasting, for example. You know, today, it's like everything's great, and then sometimes things go awry. You know, you can't predict these things. Technology is fickle. So if you're a band and you're relying on your technology to get you out of a jam, or to like be free flowing and smooth every single time, I got bad news for you. So don't be that guy. Don't be that band either. So
and it's not just new artists either, Mark. It's legacy acts like Bon Jovi, Motley Crue. They're all tracks, apparently. I should say allegedly. I don't want to get sued. But you know, that was Mick Mars' whole thing. Like, even the drums were tracked. It's like, how? Like, you can't even like play the drums. And I don't think Nikki Sixx knows how to play the bass. So that one I understand. But the drums, really? No.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I mean, there's, in hindsight, I'm wondering how any of some of these older guys in these famous rock bands ever made it in music at all, because like, I don't think any of you really know how to play your instrument whatsoever.
Ryan,
as a side note,
I just want to throw this out here, Ryan, in the chat.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
I saw a clip of Hayley Williams, I think, singing with the autotune crapped out, and it was interesting. So yeah, when the autotune doesn't work, some of these new vocalists, yeah, and they actually have to sing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, yeah. Hayley Williams, Paramore, is that correct? I'm not sure what
Paramore. Paramore. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I have Paramore originally from Franklin, a la Nashville. I have opinions on Paramore, but okay, that's perhaps another time, a manifesto, a ranting, if you will, for another day.
I'm trying to get
there.
You to
but
do
as
some
an aside,
on our Patreon, like, you got to record some.
I know.
That'll draw
you're
some
right,
people
you're right.
In,
we should. So you guys that are on our Patreon, let us know what you want me to rant about. I'll find something. As a side note, just for you, Corey, I watched for the first time, Some Kind of Monster, the Metallica doc, from years back. And that was insightful, to say the least. Speaking of, certain musicians that I don't know if they fully know how to play their instrument. And I'll just leave it at that. It was insightful. If you guys haven't seen Some Kind of Monster, go check that out. It's on Netflix.
Brilliant, brilliant documentary. Worst album ever.
Yes. And that's the heartbreak of it all. Is big. I'm watching this doc, hearing the origins of the Saint Anger album, knowing what I know, and just listening to it and go like, how? Like, how did you guys not know this early on how bad this was going to be?
For,
maybe
for
they
me,
did.
That doesn't,
you know,
cut it, you know.
And of course, this famous line.
That was the best part. That was the best part of it.
Yeah, just delete that. Oh. RIP, Mr. Aldrich.
That's just not it. Yeah. Good stuff. That'll do it for the manifestos and the commentaries on Spank. So now we can put it to rest for you once and for all, Corey, until we finish the Fuck album, and then we have to talk about it on a live show, and then we'll predict chaos.
It may not be my lowest ranked on the Fuck album. I don't know. Like I said, maybe I'm coming around a little bit. I tell you what, though, those scores did bring the scores on the Fuck album down a bit. Currently, the album rating right now is 75.8% for 24.2% against.
Blasphemy, you guys.
And we only have two tracks left on that one. Pleasure Dome and Top of the... Pleasure Dome and The Dream Is Over are the two we have left. So,
jeez. Well, I don't have hope that it's going to soar to the top. Well, I mean, it can't soar to the top at this point.
Great record.
But
great record. It's one of those.
I had hope that it would at least make it to 80 something percent.
I tell you what, I had this kind of phenomenon happen, not to promote any of my other podcasts, but on the Ultimate Catalog Clash, season one, we did Phil Collins era Genesis, and Kevin Brown was talking about Duke, and he said Duke is an album I'd give in the high 90s, but when we broke down the songs, it ended up much, much lower. It was, I think, around 73%, and he was pissed off about that. But when you look at him kind of individually, and you kind of take a critical ear to him, is kind of what we're doing here, and you have to grade him to a certain criteria, that could happen. But you could put on the record and say, I love this record. And that's what I do when I listen to the Fuck album. I love this record, but there's two songs on there I love less, right? And when I'm listening to it,
fair. That's a fair assessment.
And that other one you mentioned that, I'm maybe not going to enjoy as an instrumental is amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's Mr. Hagar that's not so good on it, but we're going to get to that one. I want to call it one thing in the chat, though, because Chaz says that Spanked is a joke like Big Bottom. And Jeff Brewer rightly calls him out and says, excuse me, sir, Big Bottom is not a joke. It's pure genius. Two guitars playing bass and the bass player playing a double neck bass is just awesome. 100%. Bigger the cushion,
it's either
the sweeter
awesome
the
or
pushing.
It's overkill. Either way, it's
no,
cool.
No, there's no such thing as overkill on Big Bottom, sir. No. I will not cotton to any fucking Spinal Tap blasphemy on my show, sir.
Oh, I will not. Yeah, no, there's no blasphemy here. It's just like when I say overkill, I mean that in the best possible way. I love it. take that, Chaz. Anyway, with that being said, you ready to do our favorite thing in the world? Other than spin the wheel?
Should we manifest?
Yes, we should, everybody. Take a sip. It's time for manifestations.
All right, everybody.
And to those of you who don't know, we manifest what song we want for the night. All right. So going to our Discord for our lovely patrons who are very enthusiastic and with a lot of hopes and dreams of their manifestations of the songs tonight. We go to Scott Monroe, and he says, because it would be fitting to welcome 2024 by closing out 1984, he wants House of Pain.
Yes.
He's probably not alone in that too. Yeah, that's we're very close to finishing 1984, and House of Pain is just the track to do it. And then we go on to Jeff Brewer says, that's as good a reason as any. I'll take House of Pain also. So there you go. Josh, our friend Josh, who's not in the chat right now, but he's getting checked out. Hope you're doing good, buddy. Josh says, new sensation. I mean, House of Pain.
Yeah, I'd be down for new sensation too. I like NXS. Why not?
Yeah, I do too. That would be fun. If you want the NXS show, let us know. But that's three for House of Pain. Our friend Michael T. Michael, he wants Jamie's Crying. And he's not going to stop until we get it.
Almost happened last week. You used your godlike powers that ticked everybody off. And how did Jeff put it? They rejected that one last week so they could do Spanked. Rejected is the wrong word. It's still on the wheel and we're still going to spin it and talk about it. But
look, man, look, we had the Bogus Otis guys on the show, the Sammy Hagar podcasters. Like, we couldn't not do a Sammy track with them on there. Okay. We had to. We just had to. All right. And I know I pulled a mulligan from out of nowhere that I said I wasn't going to do. And then I went against it. And that's why I said, come after me. It's fine. So, Jeff, I feel your anger. It gives you focus, makes you stronger. Kudos. Chaz, on the other hand, wants a fan favorite, Humans Being.
That's right.
Yeah. That one has long eluded us. And I don't know. I'm feeling something in the air, but maybe not, because Ryan Powell, he's going to manifest Big Bad Bill. That's what he wants. And then our friend Davey Lee Smith says he wants Bullethead. He wants to get down on some Bullethead. But then Scott Everett coming in clutch with the House of Pain because he's ready for 1984 album show. Erickson Jump. So basically, Scott wants to he wants the chaos to just explode because he knows when we talk about that album and we get to Jump that our friend Tom's gonna jump in there, pun intended, and completely rip me apart, I'm sure, because of my many occasions of discussing why those lyrics are stupid. Look, I love the song. I have to point that out. I still love the song. It's Van Halen's most popular song. It's great.
I can't wait for that discussion. I can't wait for that discussion.
Yeah.
I took so much shit for Spanked. You got to get some for Jump there, buddy.
Look, it might be our first live or the first live show of 2024, man, because if we spin House of Pain, it's on.
Absolutely.
So we've got all the manifestations for those and then a few others. Corey, how about yourself, though? You know, you got your internet back. We've had some weird technical issues. So what's a good Van Halen track that we have left that would ease your irritation?
You know, I kind of want to hear Big Bottom now because Jeff is still talking in the chat, talking about the I believe it was it wasn't Live 8, but it was one of those like type of big cause type concerts and Spinal Tap was a part of, and they did a live version of Big Bottom. Where every bass player on the bill came on stage, including James Hetfield and Robert Trujillo from Metallica, and they played bass to Big Bottom. So I want to see amazing. That. Actually, I don't remember what the event was. It wasn't Live 8, but it was like that. It was some sort of, hey, let's all get together and make music to try and solve world hunger, and then nothing ever fucking came of it. But I'm going to join the chorus of people who want House of Pain. I'm ready for a live show, even though my technology is not. I am ready for one. I want to drink some whiskeys and talk about one of my favorite albums of all time. You can't really see it in my new shot. I kind of moved my shot for people watching on YouTube or on the live stream. This poster here, it's off in the corner. You can't really see it. It's the Van Halen poster. It's actually from the 1984 tour program book that a listener actually was very nice to send to me. So I got that hanging up here in my man cave. You can also, behind this shoulder, I got a couple of signed Eddie Van Halen posters. Got a Queen thing, Metallica thing, all my football pictures. So I'm going to join the chorus of people who want to hear House of Pain. And then we can get that live show going for 1984. That's going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
Well, there you go. All right. Like all around House of Pain. And then, of course, I'm going to be the contrarian because I want Humans Being. I think it's time. It's eluded us long enough. I'm with the first time you'll hear me say it. I'm with Chaz Mataz on this one, man. Like, I think it's time for some Humans Being. I think, look, it's on brand because for whatever reason in the America South, specifically Nashville, December seems to be a tornado month. We can't go a December since like 2019 and 2020 without having a tornado come through. And luckily, I mean, we're all good this time. No trees fell on our cars because there's no trees anymore. They had to go because those are tornadoes in the previous years. But man, we still had them and we still have weird, crazy weather. So what better track to befit this crazy weather than with the song from the highly entertaining blockbuster Twister than Humans Being? It's time. I think it's time. So that being said, I wouldn't be mad if House of Pain ended up on the wheel, but it's not up to me and it's not up to Corey. It is up to the wheel herself, and she be a fickle bitch sometimes. So what say we get this thing primed? How many people we got in the chat right now?
We have, I believe, 7 right now, but I want to point out we have a last minute manifestation from our good buddy, Halen. Halen Powell wants to hear Jamie's Crying. So,
Right. Two for Jamie's Crying. Yeah, so because Mark wouldn't be mad about that either.
Mark so awfully got rid of it last time out. He's hoping for a redo on Jamie's Crying.
Yes, so it was me. It was me.
It was all you.
I'm the villain.
Bastard. All right, let's. We have 20 songs on the wheel. We have six now in the chat. Six plus you and I is 8. So what do you say I shuffle this sucker all 8 right. times? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right, Sammy's warming up. Let's see what we come up with.
Here we go.
All right. Oh, Oh, it's gonna be a big one. It's human being.
Yeah.
Mark Kammeyer called his shot.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
We did it, Chaz. We did it.
Oh, that means Chaz called his shot too. Oh no.
He did. Yeah. So that's two for me now. All right. I'm catching up to you, Corey.
I almost wore my Manifest Club t-shirt because I've done that three times. You got to get one now.
You've done it three.
You rolled two.
I know. I got to get one more.
Oh, Scott Everett, not happy at all. Hell yes. Chaz, very happy. Cheers. Yep. We're going to Twister. And actually, a little apropos, I was just reading an interview with Glenn Powell from that.
Glenn Powell, yeah. Twisters.
He's going to be in Twisters. And he talked about the new Twisters film. And it's not going to have anything to do with the original Twister. No cast members coming back. It's not following that storyline. This is a completely different, separate storyline, just with a very similar name.
I think that's the best course of action. If you're going to do another Tornado movie and call it Twisters, make it your own thing. Yeah. Just, you know, make it the new generation Twister, you know, because without, you know, sadly, Bill Paxton is no longer with us, and you can't bring back Helen Hunt and not bring back Bill Paxton. And, you know, he's not with us anymore. So there's no point. Not to mention, you know, a lot of the crew, or not a lot of them, but there's a few people from the crew of the first movie that aren't with us anymore, including Philip Seymour Hoffman. People forget he's in that movie. But yeah, so that's the best course of action, I think, if you're going to make a pseudo, it's not even a sequel, I don't think. I think it's just going to be, like the new generation of Twisters. So, and what that name implies is we're probably going to get like just a fuck ton of tornadoes in that movie. And with the technology being what it is, they could look pretty devastating. So I'm excited. I like Glenn Powell. I'm excited to see what becomes of it. Nothing's ever going to beat the Jan de Bont directorial masterpiece. And I'm pretty sure there will be no single Van Halen songs on the soundtrack for this new Twisters, which that's a shame too. But what do you do?
Twisters was a big, big hit when it came out. I know the band was supposed to kind of be on off their tour cycle at this point. 1996, Eddie was going to have hip surgery. Alex was going to get his necks fixed finally from the, you know, remember he balanced tour, he's wearing the fucking neck brace. And Sammy's wife was having their first kid. But their manager convinced them that the movie was going to be huge and that the money they made off this track would kind of carry him for the rest of 96. And he was right. I think Twister made almost $500 million at the worldwide box office, which at the time, it wasn't Independence Day money, but it was still pretty huge. So.
And at the time, I mean, like what they were doing, it's funny watching it now. The special effects were pretty cutting edge at that time with, you know, what the tornadoes looked like, you know, what they could do. So, you know, that bear all that in mind. And they were absolutely right. Like the movie was going to be a hit, and it was. And I like to think that it's because all the pieces fit and, you know, you give it a kick-ass soundtrack with no less than two Van Halen centric songs on there. And you got a massive hit on your hands.
Don't forget Respect the Wind also from this soundtrack. Yeah. Tom Armbruster, we've got cows. Yeah, damn right we got cows. They weren't really realistic cows, but there you go. Ryan Powell,
that's
great
no
suggestion. Maybe Wolf.
Space,
maybe Wolf can contribute to the Twister soundtrack. Should he cover
that
Human's
be really
Being
cool.
Or maybe write a spiritual sequel to it? That'd be kind of cool.
I think he should do, I think he should do not a cover, but like a spiritual sequel or something like that. Or something like, here is my version of Human's Being, like what, I'm not copying, I'm not like following, you know, Dad and Uncle Alex's work here, but I'd like if I were approaching a song for a tornado movie, what would that song sound like? That would be really, really cool. And I think that would be kind of sweet if they got him to do something on there. So I'm looking forward to it.
Now, little trivia for our lurkers in the chat who know much more about Van Halen than I do. Who titled this song Human's Being? Because I believe Sammy had a song called The Silent Extreme that this was kind of based on. And then somebody else in the band came up with the title Human's Being. Does anybody know? I know Kevin Brown just logged in the wrong account, but he's fucking here anyway. Kevin Brown, who coined the term or titled the song Human's Being?
He's just going to Google real quick and he'll
get
back to us.
Any guesses, Mark?
I do not have it. I have no clue, actually. I didn't know that it had an original title.
Well, I'm not
other getting, than Humans Being.
It was actually Alex Van Halen who christened it Humans Being, apparently.
Oh. So. Well, there you go. How about that? Look at that.
We talked about kind of the friction in the band during 95 with Balance. It was even more so in 96, obviously. Sammy wanted to stay in Maui with his pregnant wife. The band wanted him to fly in to kind of work on this song. And I believe I'm trying to look up the exact quote here. And he said, Eddie.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
He pleaded with Sammy and said they needed only a minute and a half of lyrics. And he suggested, blah, 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 I hate this, I hate that, you dirty rat, as a lyric, which Sammy said that sucked. And then he came up with the line, there is just enough Christ in me to make me feel almost guilty. Is that why God made us breed, to make us see we're humans being? So a little bit better than blah, 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 I hate this, I hate that, you dirty rat, which is how I would write a song.
just a little bit. Yeah, exactly. when you're just fed up and you don't give a shit. Yeah,
exactly. Well, what do you say? You want to start playing a little Humans Being from the Twister soundtrack in 1996?
Been waiting for it since the beginning of the show.
Let's do it. Oh, that riff. That's what I was missing last week. And I don't even mind like bluesier, kind of funkier stuff we got last week, but give me a low down dirty riff like that. That is just magic. And I know Chaz is not a fan of this song, and I'm hoping we get some comments on him as to why, because I'm listening to that and I'm thinking, this is fucking brilliant. I love it.
Eddie does this really cool thing. And I've mentioned that he's one of the most dynamic. I think that's part of his charm among many things, but he's one of the most dynamic guitar players. This shows his dynamics because he's essentially playing the same riff over and over again. And yet he's building and it's building and it's building. He's playing it relatively quiet, but each time he comes back to the phrase, it gets louder and louder and louder. And he's just like, it's just this great big build, like the oncoming storm, if you will.
There you go.
And I've always really appreciated about this. And I don't know, just, and the riff just sounds cool. Just dun, 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 dun. It's like, it's so simple, but it just, you add Eddie's tonality. And then of course, when Alex and Mikey come in, it's just blends together so beautifully. This was one of the I'll get to that later, but I really love the buildup of that riff. And it's dirty. It's got like that kind of I don't even know how to describe it other than, yeah, it's this dirty riff, and yet it comes out like fluidly, you know. It's just very, very fluid. And I guess you just attribute that to Eddie's just the way he plays it, but I've always loved the little intro.
Yep, me too. All right, let's get into the first verse and the lyrics, which is maybe one of the things that people didn't appreciate about the song, but let's find
it. Sure.
Is that why God made us?
All right, so I like it. I'm going to guess that you like it, but some people may not be a fan of the monotone. There is just enough, right? Like the kind of bland kind of delivery on the lyrics until he gets to humans being. I don't know.
He doesn't do a lot of, he's kind of got that, drone sort of like one note, on each word of the phrase, but it's impactful. What he's saying is actually, you know, we just got done talking about a song, that Sammy wrote lyrically and how it's just like, wow, that's stupid. And we talk all the time about how sometimes, Sammy's lyrics are just like, what the fuck, dude? Like, can you make this a little bit more poetic? No. Or do you have that ability? Okay. I think this opening, phrase here is pretty profound, really. I mean, if you get down to it, I mean, there's just enough Christ in me to make me feel almost guilty. Is that why God made us breed to see that we're humans being? It's kind of like, you know, the question your maker, question your existence on the planet. You know, not to get too religious about it, but I mean, you know, we're a nation that's you know, built around, unfortunately, just the religious aspects of it all. So I mean, there's going to come some times when you're going to question your place in the world and whether or not you believe that there's something beyond it. And and if you do, you know, Sammy's like, well, he's like, there's just enough of this inner light in me to, you know, make me feel kind of guilty about the way I live my life. And it's like, you know, is that what I'm put here to do? Am I here to just spread my seed and make more of me out there? Because, you know, we're human beings out there. And is that what we're put on this planet to do, to just breed? You know, that's a kind of profound thought process, I think.
Absolutely.
For Sammy, especially lyrically, that's pretty profound for him.
Let's go to the chat real quick and get some comments. Tom Armbruster, that snare. Yeah. You're definitely not wrong. But you could say that pretty much of any, Alex Van Halen snare sound. Scott Everett, Al banging away over that riff is magic. Absolutely. Ryan says, I love the syncopated riff. The of two and three is brilliant. And then Chaz chimes in, I hate this riff. So that was the problem I had with Spanked. I didn't like the riff. It ruined the song for me. He doesn't like this riff.
Right.
It ruins the song for him. I'm not going to shit all over him. If you don't like the riff, obviously the song's not going to work for you. I just did this with Kevin Brown in a Metallica song. He said, I don't like this riff. Well, then the whole song is going to be pretty much done for you at that point, right? So, yeah, I totally get it.
Which song was it?
I don't want to ruin it. You got to listen to the Ultimate Catalog.
Oh, okay, clause. Okay, yeah.
That
tease for you guys.
I also honestly don't remember which song it was, but...
damn it.
Josh, Glenn Ballard production equals stellar. Absolutely. I think it sounds really good. Chaz, though, says, yeah, it sounds like everyone but Eddie Van Halen. Which I don't know.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah. It's too thin and repetitive and just not inspired, which it has a little more body, I think, than maybe it's just what he's listening to through our headphones. Again, we're having some technical issues. I don't think the lurkers are listening. They're not getting the full body effect that Mark and I are getting here. So maybe that I think there's a lot of body to that riff, actually.
I do, too. And it's especially his he hates the tone.
Yeah.
To me, I think the riff works because of Eddie's tone, and like, it sounds to me like Eddie's tone. I mean, we've done the show long enough to where it's like, we can recognize that. And not to mention, you know, Eddie Van Halen's tone is legendary, you know, with how it sounds, because nobody else can do that. That's one of the reasons why I think the riff actually really works, is because that Eddie's tonality is very apparent and upfront. And so when you say you hate the tone and it doesn't sound like Eddie, like, I have to question, go, really, you sure about that?
All right, let's keep going.
But you do you, Chaz.
He will, trust me.
Break out that, you break my balls down.
All right, man, that chorus. Holy crap. That's my favorite part of the song. I love the Shine On.
There they go again, man. We have mentioned, especially early Van Halen days, their choruses are usually nothing lyrically. Like, it's maybe the title of the song over and over again. Like, Running with the Devil, Might as Well Jump, Go Ahead and Jump. You know, it's like Panama, aw. You know, it's just like their choruses are just so simple with, you know, lyrically I'm speaking about. And this one's no exception. Shine on, that's it. But it works because that full sound of the band, you know, when the music just like shifts. And again, I echo what, I believe it was, Scott Everett, and it might've been a few other people, but it's the groove and intensity of the song is really like, that's the selling point. And it makes sense because we're putting this song on a movie soundtrack about tornadoes. It needs to be intense. And, you know, if you can make it groovy, do it. If there's one thing, Van Halen's good at is swing and groove. So, that chorus is so good. Let me ask you something, Corey. The line, you break my balls with all your crap. You think he's talking about Alex?
Well, I think in general, Chaz points out in the comments, lots of bad vibes in the music and the lyrics. It's a really sad statement for where they were as a band. I don't know if he was necessarily going for that, but obviously hindsight is 2020. You break this, yeah, I'll break all that. You break my balls with all your clap. Spread your disease like lemons breeding. That's what makes us human being. A very negative lyric, which, you know, from a party band from California, we're not quite used to, right? So, you know, we had
we
had a little bit of that going into Balance, right? Don't Tell Me was, you know, a negative kind of connotation there. At least they wanted one. And then Humans Being, kind of the same thing. I always kind of got an instant karma kind of vibe from this song. Just because that chorus is, we all shine on. This is shine on, shine on. And I actually found a quote from Stephen King, who was inspired to name his book The Shining because of instant karma. What's the movie playing at the drive-in in Twister?
It's The Shining.
It's The Shining. It all comes around. It's like poetry.
Yeah. It's like poetry. It rhymes. Thank you, George Lucas.
Yeah, thank you, George.
But no, that's actually really smart to point out, and now it just makes me wonder if Jan de Bont, the director, had that in mind, or if it's just a happy coincidence because, you know, he wanted something profound playing on the drive-in screen whilst a tornado is attacking. I don't know, but I like your analysis there, Corey. I think if it all ties together like that, then that just makes it even more brilliant. But yeah, you talk about the negative, and Chaz mentioned it too, bad vibes, negativity in the lyrics. Like, well, considering where they were at the time, and, you know, Sammy's not beyond writing negative things, even in the song Feeling, as we went over, there's, you know, it's literally, he's talking about how he was feeling about his place in the band, maybe even his place in the world. That's not a positive song. I wouldn't say that was a overly positive lyrically. And I don't know, something about the way the music in this song is structured, it lends itself into you know, it's kind of got that minor, I mean, it is a minor, but the key, but I mean, it lends itself to kind of expressing some anger, some frustration, because, you know, storm's coming, you know, and I am the storm in this moment. So like, let me just go ahead and just lay it all out there and, you know, shine on, you know, just let it, let your feelings fly, I guess, so to speak, let it come through like a tornado. But it works. And I think because of that, and something we're not used to hearing from, yeah, you know, party rocker from California like that, that may be why this song is so attractive to so many people. Not just its connection to, you know, a fantastic movie, but just because of the way it's structured, because of the way it sounds. Because it does sound, even though I disagree with the assessment that it doesn't sound like Eddie Van Halen playing, I think it does, but as a Van Halen song, it does sound different. than what we are used to hearing from them. That I agree with, but I don't think that's a negative.
No, and Kevin called that out, that it's a different beast in the catalog, but still very Van Halen. And Ryan Powell in the chat agrees with Chad, but he finds the aggression in the song compelling and elevates the music, which is kind of where I
fall too. Yeah, right there. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, let's keep going. All right, before we get into the second part there, it almost kind of feels like we're in the eye of the Twister, don't we? Like everything kind of comes down.
I think you nailed it. I think that's exactly the feeling that they're trying to invoke here. I mean, Eddie is so good at evoking feelings through his guitar playing, man. Just it doesn't matter what the song is about. We know that when they're doing their party rock stuff, when they're singing about Panama, and you know, he comes in with that solo. It's like, this song is supposed to be fun. So that solo sounds fun. This song, is kind of heavy, and it's, you know, dealing with, you know, big storms. So what's that going to sound like? Tornadoes are fickle, man. Sometimes they don't just plow through and that's it. Sometimes they come in, or they just build and build and build and leave you in suspense. They come down for a little bit, then they go away, but then they come back. And I'm right there with you. I think that's exactly what this solo is doing.
I tell you what, a tornado's kind of hit home for me, because I'm kind of in a little bit of a tornado alley where I live here now. And actually, just beyond this wall here that you could see on my shot, one night my wife was at work. She was working at our theater at the time. I look out the window. I had two young kids at the time, and I see a cloud and start swirling, and I see the funnel starting to come down, and literally 20 feet from my house. So I grab the kids, we run to the basement, and like just ready for shit to hit the fan. I come back up and it had dissipated, but man, it was so close. Like it was coming down, hadn't quite touched the ground. I didn't wait around to look long enough to see if it was going to touch the ground. But I tell you, smart, scary, scary shit. Cause I've seen the movie Twister about 100 times. Let's go back to the chat here. Chaz says the Shine On bit they needed a radio hook. It comes out of nowhere. It's a bit bizarre. I don't agree with that one little bit. I think it absolutely fits. Kevin Brown.
So I agree it's a radio hook, but I don't agree it comes out of nowhere.
I love Kevin. So we're all agreed, right? Chaz is wrong. Can't wait to hear Heath McCoy's thoughts on this one. I agree. I kind of curious to see what Heath comes up with. And then Chaz, because he loves to needle Kevin as much as I do, says Def Leppard should do a cover, knowing that Kevin Brown hates Def Leppard more than anything.
I don't know that story. Kevin, you're going to have to enlighten me one day.
Oh, yeah. It's awful. And I almost picked Def Leppard for the Ultimate Catalog Clash, because I think if he actually listened to it, he'd find some stuff he likes. They're actually, I really like that band a lot. I actually met him. You can't see it on my wall. It's just off the shot this way here a little bit. But I have a picture of me and my wife and Def Leppard, their Viva Hysteria residency at the Hard Rock in Vegas. We went and saw him. So that was a lot
of
fun.
Hell yeah.
Ryan says Chaz may get voted off Van Halen Island if he's not careful. Yeah, geez, I don't know. Love the tempo change in the solo, like the storm. Yeah, we had talked about that. That's absolutely right. The solo is the only thing I like, says Chaz.
Well, there's something you like.
Yeah. Chaz says, I was hoping this listen would change my mind. Apparently it hasn't. That's too bad. Ryan says, absolutely, Scott, that breakdown is tremendous. And it really, really is. And it really, it fits the tone so well of the movie and of the song. And I don't even know if they really tailored this song a lot to the movie. Maybe they just knew, hey, we're writing a tornado movie song. And this, okay, we had this kind of scrap of a song that Sammy did. Alex named it Humans Being, and away they went. And that may have been all it was, but if they were thinking, you know, about tornadoes, okay, now we need that kind of breakdown moment where everything calms down and then everything builds, and boy, does it ever build. Now you get to the shit hitting the fan. Now you get cows fucking flying through the world and all that kind of stuff. So.
Maybe it was just a, you know, happy coincidence. Like, well, we do have this song that feels like it's just a storm brewing, because it kind of is where we're at in this point in time in our career. So yeah, let's throw this on the soundtrack. Let's see what happens.
Oh, and Ryan reminds me of something. Their instructions were to specifically write a song that wasn't referencing tornadoes or the weather. That came from Jan de Bont. He's like, do not write a tornado song.
They're like, okay, we won't, but it's still going to feel like one.
Yeah, and then their instrumental was called what? Respect the Wind. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's keep going. All right, we haven't talked about him yet on this track, but Michael Anthony had some cool shit going on there during the solo. The bass was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to. Yes, he does. But I tell you, I'm a big fan of everything Alex is doing.
Oh, yeah.
In this section. I mean, like, I love his double kick. I love just he's throwing it in and like almost it almost seems like it just random times, but it works. And it just sort of still invokes the building and building, like the you know, the storm getting bigger and bigger. And I mean, Mikey is a huge part of that as well, because you know, that rhythm section, man, when those two are just on it, they're on it. And I'm just gonna tell you this right now. This is my favorite Eddie Van Halen solo. And it's not because he's playing all the notes in the world. It's not because necessarily the solo is just, you know, it does it fit the song? Absolutely. And matter of fact, I think it enhances the song more than, you know, it better than it was already going. It's my favorite because of just what the feelings that it invokes. Because, yeah, he's. I think I like our assessment that he's playing it as if it's like a wavering storm. Like, you know, it's like it's here. It's like I'm going to hit you with this like real quick. And then it's going to dissipate just a little. It's going to hide. But then it's just going to come back with just the screaming vengeance. And there are moments where it sounds like his guitar is screaming, you know, or like maybe there is a tornado in the damn studio whilst playing. It just, and then you add Alex and Mikey on top of it as like you know, the thunder and you know, the crashing of debris, you know, with a tornado throwing shit around. And I mean, they can say all they want that like we were told not to write a tornado song, so we didn't. We had this song, and I was like, well, yeah, but you still gave us the tornado vibes in all of the right ways. And that is why this solo has always just had a special place in my heart, because of just how it just makes me feel and just how, you know, what I think it represents. And yeah, so this is, full disclosure, my favorite Van Halen or Eddie Van Halen solo.
Well, I tell you what, there's a differing opinion in the chat. Let's go to the
tracks boy.
Here. First of all, Ryan gets the chat win here, where he says Sammy's first attempt was about the suck zone or something, and that pissed Ed off. Which
suck zone.
I love that. Love that. Ryan Powell, I love the evolution of that two note motif as it gets more and more intense. Ditto on the one note repeated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Chaz,
the dissonance.
Yeah. Are you telling me that was Eddie? It wasn't Wolfie when he was like six or seven.
Wow.
Chaz goes, that's my least favorite solo ever. So you called it your favorite Van Halen solo of all time. Chaz says that's his least favorite ever.
Then Chaz says he's playing one note.
Yeah.
I count again, sir. Count again.
Ryan is loving
that's
that.
That's all I'll say.
You
count
and Chaz
again.
Are on opposite ends of the solo spectrum. Chaz says you have to break up the solos here. Greed says, Scott, the solo evokes emotion, perfectly stated. And Ryan is, he's with Mark on this one. He told a story with that one note. I agree. I agree with both you and Mr. Powell on that one. Chaz says, the first solo was brilliant, nuanced, and classic. EVH. The second or third one here is just not a solo. It's a one note bend. Which I don't know.
He changes the note. It changes. You know, you bend it, you change it. So
it changes in intensity.
Note,
yeah. It changes in meaning almost, right? Like it like you said, it builds. Yeah. It's not just in like he's, you know, the way he's hitting it is changing more. And actually, a little tidbit I got from the Van Halen Encyclopedia, which I'm going to read here. If you, in the video, if you look closely during the end of the second guitar solo, as he begins the tapping passage, there's a string broken on his Wolfgang guitar.
I believe it. I've never seen that, but I believe it.
I got to watch the video now. I wish we were kind of watching it as part of the show. Yeah, I got to check that out now. Broken guitar string, but. Yeah, so you either
even if it's one, you know what, even if it is one note, it's raw emotion. I defy any guitar player to play a one note solo and evoke as much emotion that Eddie Van Halen's doing in this song.
Tell a story in one note.
None of them can do it. Yeah,
tell a story in
one note. Nobody can do that. Nobody.
I love the on the second Shine On, the whoa that he kind of throws in right at the end. Like, oh, that is so cool.
It's like he's lingering on that high note, that the Shine On, and he's kind of have to let it go, like, whoa, you know. It's like he's like, I could hang on this for a little while, but I'm gonna ease back a little bit because there's more shit coming.
That's right. Dig that though. All right, let's finish her off.
There's that famous fade out.
Got to do something cool in the fade out.
He's keep going.
Got to do something cool in the fade out.
He's on and on he goes. It's like we're riding away like Pecos Bill on the tornadoes. Like, here we go, but we're not stopping.
How about that Sammy scream at the end too? Like, and it built and built, kind of like that one note solo at the end there. Like, it just be, and then went into a full throated screech. That was great.
Here is my one criticism about this song, and I've always kind of had it ever since I first heard it, and just to be fair, because I'm not trying to you know blow the song too hard, but it's like my one criticism is I'm not a fan of the way and I'm not even sure who's doing it, if it's Eddie and Mikey or if it's like if Sammy's in there too, it's the humans.
I always wondered who that was, because it doesn't sound like Sammy.
It doesn't sound like any of them.
If anything, it sounds kind of like Alex. Maybe Alex gets a vocal
maybe
credit.
It was. Yeah, maybe it was. Know. That's the one part of the song where I was just kind of like, I wish they had done something a little bit different there. But then, you know, Sammy coming in, that's what makes us, you know, like all that. And then
I tell you what they did. They did this vocal effect I have in my Rodecaster. Humans be. Humans being. Nice. Yeah, what are those?
One of those, yeah, something like that. But that's my one thing about this song is like I wish they had done something different there if they were gonna do that vocal line. But what do you do? It's fun.
Yeah. And
Just reading the comments.
Yeah, Chaz, I'm not down with that, given everything else I hate about the song. We will agree to disagree, and there you go. I'm not going to give you any grief because he only gave me a mild amount of grief on Spanked, but I understand where he's coming from. I just don't agree with it.
He said, Sammy can take Suck Zone to a whole other place. Thank God Eddie pushed him on this one lyrically. Yeah, I agree. I'd agree with that.
Yeah, then Chaz, it was written in L.A. for L.A. It's so Hollywood, not inspired, somewhat derivative. That's a nice harmony in the radio hook section again. So at least he found a positive.
Derivative of what?
Yeah.
Derivative of what? That's a legit question, Chaz. Derivative of what? I really want to know what your analysis is for derivative.
Yeah, because like what was popular in 96 that this would be derivative of?
Yeah.
Wilson,
you know,
Phillips.
Or, I mean,
I don't know.
Anything. Yeah. What is it? I really want to know what you think this is a derivative of. Get back at us with you, Chaz.
Celine Dion, she had a big hit then. It's All Coming Back to Me Now. Is it that? Gin Blossoms, maybe?
Yeah. I love the Gin Blossoms. Yes, like, is that it? Is it derivative of Gin Blossoms? Because if that's the case, I'm going to say no. No, it's not.
Maybe this is an East Coast, West Coast thing, because Chaz is, you know, on the East Coast and LA's on the West Coast. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. And yet he did a podcast about, you know, a Bay Area band. Interesting.
There you go.
Hmm.
What are you going to do? Well, you know,
there you
do.
Go, you yeah. guys. Yeah. That is a human's being. A long-awaited track of the Van Halen catalog that has been long manifested, certainly by me, many, many, many times. And tonight was finally the night before we close out 2023. We had to do it, and it's on brand, as I said, because, you know, we had tornadoes not that long ago this month, because that apparently is the December fun here in Nashville, Tennessee. We deal with tornadoes, and we are new tornado alley over here. Yay!
We do
fun
too.
Stuff, but yeah. What is fun?
I can sympathize, my friend. We're right there with you.
Yes, you can. Yeah, it's insane. But you know what is fun? It's fun finding out how we both fared on this song. What do we think about it? So, Corey, it's just you and me, man. So I'm gonna go straight to you. What do you think? As human being, a human's being. Of or is the dream over?
I love Humans Being. Like, I loved it since I first heard it. I loved it as part of the movie Twister, which is still kind of a, I don't want to use the term guilty pleasure, because you shouldn't feel guilty about anything that gives you pleasure. I like that movie.
Exactly.
Even though there's a lot of silly shit in it. The fact that so many tornadoes drop down in one area of Texas in like a 24-hour span is pretty ridiculous.
Oh, no, it's Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. And they build in intensity. I love that we have evil weathermen in that film. Cary Elwes is the bad guy weatherman. Like, who'd have thought, right? But it's great. And by the way, Ryan wants to point out, it was Eddie doing the Humans Being part. So thank you, Ryan, for helping us out with that. Huh. Yeah. Thank you so much. But I've said all that there needs to be said. I love the riff. I love the music. I love the production. I love the lyrics. I love the vocal delivery. I love everything about it. I'm not even mad about the Humans Being part. It's all great to me. Absolutely what dreams are made of. I'm so glad after I was like negative 2 weeks in a row, we came back to one I absolutely adore. Mark Meyer, this feels academic, but I'm going to ask you anyway, is this what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
One of the selling points in me purchasing the Best of Van Halen Volume 1 when I was just a wee lad, before I started playing guitar, one of the selling points was the fact that Humans Being was on that album, because I knew that was the song from Twister when I was a kid. And I love that movie with all my heart and soul, and I think I love it so much more because of the Van Halen of it all. It's great when you hear it in the movie. It fits the scene. The closing is Eddie's, you know, doing his solo. What is it? The Sound of the Wind, is that what it's called?
Respect the Wind,
that's right. But it's just it's phenomenal. But because of that, I mean, it really if that song didn't have such an impact on me at such a young age, do I dare purchase that Best of Volume 1? And then if I don't, do I go into learning how to play guitar like Eddie, like I wanted to, what does my trajectory look like in my musicianship if I don't do that? If that song is not on that album, or if that song just didn't have such an impact with me, it's not the greatest Van Halen song ever written. I don't think it's the greatest Van Halen song ever written, but it is a great Van Halen song. And I maintain it does sound like a Van Halen song. It sounds like a different one, but that's a good thing. I just like you, Corey. I mean, there's not much else to say other than that. I love everything about it. I could take or leave. Apparently, that's Eddie. I could take or leave Eddie's little humans being a little bit, but it's fine. Like it's not so bad that it just kills the how I feel about the song entirely. No, it's just that I just wish they had done something a little bit different there. But it is what it is. It's great. I really enjoy Sammy's lyrics on this one because it's not your typical Sammy lyric. It's thought provoking and it's on the negative side, but it's because he was feeling a particular way and everybody in the band was feeling a particular way. But I mean, nevertheless, what they turned out, whether they intended it or not, what they turned out was a quintessential tornado song. I know Jan DeBont's like, do not write a song about a tornado. Okay, we won't, but it is. It very much is.
All right.
And you don't even have to know the movie Twister to enjoy it. That's right. Absolutely what dreams are made of.
And now you can get it on vinyl if you get the collection volume 2. It's on the Rarities album that comes with that. Chaz answered our question. We asked, what's it derivative of? He says, derivative of songs by the Eagles. Simple arpeggios coming out of the radio hook, the transitions he uses. Do you hear Eagles when you hear that?
Well, I'm trying to look at it from the perspective that he is explaining here. Simple arpeggios coming out of the radio hook in the transitions. By that logic, Humans Being is derivative of Van Halen songs.
Ooh.
Because I got news for you, especially early Van Halen. Like, you get Chaz, are you joking? Van Halen, all radio friendly, like it's if you're gonna call it like it's too radio friendly, radio hook. That's all Van Halen 1 is, are radio hooks. You know how I know that? Because so many of those songs were on the radio because of their, that just means that they wrote catchy hooks that people enjoyed. That's what gave them, that's what we love about Van Halen. So I don't know what the hell you're talking about. The Eagles, I guess in the sense of, do the Eagles know how to write good arpeggiated hooks? Yeah, they do. Does a band like Deep Purple? Sure, sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. We'll be here all day. It's just like, by that logic, our simple arpeggios and radio hooks, I mean, like, then I guess all of rock music is derivative of each other. And if that's the case, so be it.
But
I got news for you. Everything is derivative of something.
All I know is that Halen gives us What Dreams Are Made Of. That's good enough for me. Because he's got the coolest name maybe in the entire world. So he's What Dreams Are Made Of.
Absolutely.
Chaz is This Dream Is Over. Ryan was hoping that most of the solos would bring Chaz around, but Chaz, no dice. He said, here's the deal. Maybe the worst thing I can say about a Van Halen song, he played it through once and had no desire to ever play it again. There you go.
Yeah, to each their own. That's fine. Their own, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe you'll come around to it in a few years, or maybe the next time we get to talking about Van Halen songs and this one comes up, maybe you'll have a change of heart, or maybe you won't, and that's completely fine.
That's right. All right. And Ryan and Halen have to call it a night, so good night, gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Hope you had a good time.
Yeah.
And next time it'll go more smoothly, I'm hereby predicting. But Before we get to that, Mark, maybe we should start to wrap things up here.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's wrap it up. Are we not playing the game? Did they ever play this live?
Oh. That's right. Let's play the game.
I was gonna say, like, I can't believe you're just gonna let that one go.
I tell you, it's been a long night, and I have another show left to record. Ultimate Catalog is coming up for me after a short break. So, let's play. How many times have Van Halen performed "Humans Being"? Now, all those people in the chat, I'm assuming you're not going to cheat and look things up on Setlist.fm. Mark Kamir, I know you're not cheating because you're a man of integrity.
I'm right here.
Yeah. So please let me know in the chat and let me know, Mark, right now, how many times do you think Van Halen performed "Humans Being"?
I would like to say they performed it every night since they recorded it, but I know that ain't the truth. So I'm going to say they probably performed this one 120 times.
120?
Yeah.
All right. Well, because I didn't name the files very good on my Roadcaster, I'm not sure which if I'm going to play the right one. Let's try it. Nope, that's wrong.
I mean, I heard. Oh.
Hey!
That's all there is to it.
Mark Kamir.
A winner.
You came closest playing against yourself without going over. It was played 154 times.
Oh, man. Okay.
So 74 times in 1998 with Gary Cherone and 80 times in 2004 on the ill-fated Sammy Hagar reunion tour. So there you go. 154 times.
I would be very curious to hear Gary's take on "Humans Being." I imagine it probably doesn't sound too dissimilar, but that's interesting. Well, there you go, man. All right. So, hey, I won. but that's cool. I mean, actually, I like that. I like that they played it that many times, and as well they should, because it's a damn good Van Halen song. I don't care what Chaz says. It's great. It's a great one. But, you know, it's when you have so many bangers, you only have room for, some stuff's got to go. So, it is what it is. It just makes my heart happy to know that they played it a fair amount of times. And it would be really, really cool if we got to hear "Humans Being" live in this upcoming tour. We probably won't, but that would be really cool to hear it. That's all I'm saying. That's my manifestation now.
I think it might happen.
I would love for that to happen, man. I would just I think I would weep tears of just nerd joy. If I heard that live with Sammy and Mikey there and Joe Satriani and then freaking Bonham back on the drums, just hearing what he would do with that song, man, he'd probably make that thing sound just as monstrous as old Alex. So, man, I'm very, very much looking forward to that. So here's hoping, everybody. I want to thank my co-host Corey Morissette, as always, man, for holding it down. I'm sorry, you guys, we, kind of had a late start. Technical difficulties, what are you going to do? But that's sort of the name of the game sometimes, and you can't predict it. Things go wrong. You can't explain it. You can't predict it. Yeah, there you go. There's a Twister quote for you. Oh, that made me happy to do that. So, and you know who else I want to thank? I want to thank all of you guys lurking in the chat right now, all of our patrons, our very loyal listeners. I'm going to list them off for you. Big thanks to Matt Lacoste, Nate from the Deep Purple Podcast, Rava Flav, Josh Caldwell, get well soon, my dude. I hope you're doing good. Greg Zito, Michael Griffith, Chaz Charles, in spite of his feelings on the song, thank you anyway, dude. Sean McGinnity, Kevin Brown, Per Lineker, Scott Monroe, Ryan Powell, so glad to have you back in the chat and everything. Jeff Brewer, Ben Andreozzi, Tom Armbruster, Scott Everett, Heath McCoy, Janice Risco, Brad Gould, Michael Triplett, and Davey Lee Smith. Thank you guys so much for being a part of our journey and continuing with us, man, and always for your support, keeping the lights on, the Christmas lights, if you will. Well, I guess we can take those down now that it's post-Christmas, but we won't, because New Year's is right around the corner. Also, to all of you just joining us, or if you're joining us for the first time, go to podcastwillrock.com. Check out all the backlog episodes. They're all there. You can also find our merch store. And I know the holidays are almost over, but hey, I guarantee you can find a good t-shirt sale going on our TeePublic store. So get yourself a t-shirt to support the show. Get you an Apologies to Gary shirt, because like I said, I'm not going to stop until I see an army of you all wearing those shirts. And Gary has no choice but to confront us and go, what the hell is going on with these shirts? And that would just make me laugh, because I wouldn't have a great answer for him except for just listen to the show, Gary. You'll have a good time. You're right. Corey's already wearing his right now. So, you know, that's one. And I know a lot of you have your shirts out there as well. So, keep on building, give to your friends, share the show. You might have some Van Halen friends out there that don't know about us yet. Let them know. Corey, if you want to go ahead and give them a little taste of what they can expect, because we are a part of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. What other shows can they expect on this network?
Hey, before I do that, I just want to call it. I'm finally getting the results of the chat guesses on the poll. Scott Everett guessed 150, so he would have won. He would have destroyed you on that one, Mark. But yeah, let's talk about.
Oh, well.
No surprise. Let's talk about the Deep Dive Podcast Network, including such shows as Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited with myself and Scott Haskin, The Ultimate Catalog Clash, myself and Kevin Brown. Hey, Christy. Hi. Hope you're having a good, Thursday night? Yeah, hope she's having a good Thursday night.
Yeah.
Ultimate Catalog Clash, me and Kevin Brown. The Tom Petty Project. That's Kevin Brown breaking down the Tom Petty catalog. He also does a show with Randy Woods called Seaside Pod Review, breaking down the Queen catalog. Then we have Scott Haskin, who finished Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast, but they're all archived for you to check out. And if Uriah Heep ever releases another record, he'll be covering it on his show. Then we have Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast, The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered, Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts, Riot Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul, Joe, and David just wrapped up In the Lap of the Pause. But you can go check out all those archived episodes or wherever you get your podcast from. Andy and Matt do a show on Hawkwind called Hawk Binge. Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast, Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What, talking all things Megadeth, Quinn at End Volume for All, Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast. Then we have the Chaz Universe, Chaz and Greg at Regarding Lulu, Chaz and Chats at Brush Rash, and Chaz and Wolfie at Regarding Roger. That's Roger Waters. Then, of course, we have all of our favorite like-minded shows, including the DLR cast, the Bogus Oda Show, the Sean Geek and Fast Fred Podcast, You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast, Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, Booked on Rock with the legendary Eric Senich, Dissect That Film, and Three's Company 2, a rewatch podcast.
Lots of awesome shows to choose from. We're in no short supply, a great abundance. So if we're not doing it for you, I guarantee you that there's a show on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network that will do it for you. But in case we are, please let us know. Share with your friends. Just share the show in general. Just tell people about it, because we're doing what humble fans do, talking about a band we love, and let it be known once again, Corey and I, we're not experts. We're not even rock historians. No, we're just simple, humble fans talking about this great band that we all love and enjoy. And we're going to keep doing it until we just can't anymore. And we are in the bottom 20, I believe. So, you know, that day is rapidly approaching. So, but don't be sad about it, because it's not the end. We've still got plenty of shows left to go. We've still got live shows, because we haven't covered each album just yet. So be on the lookout for that. Live shows here on our YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel, if you didn't know. So go check that out. And the podcast will rock. That is us. And on behalf of Corey, myself, and all of our lurkers out there, we are. And the podcast will rock. And we will rock you in the new year later.
Mom
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.